And we're back. We're finishing up what we started a couple days ago. We're going to give you the more serious, the more esteemed, the nose in the air trailers for this one that came out of Comic-Con and surrounding areas such as YouTube and the internet at large. We're going over some new Oscar trailers. So now we kept teasing, Oscar season's approaching. Well, it's here. These are the final trailers of some stuff that might be nominated for Oscars, we think may be nominated for Oscars, and some other movies of the like that could be on the periphery. Welcome to another episode of Mike and Oscar. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike here. Yes, full disclosure, we're recording this a couple weeks before we release it, so if like Beale Street Could Talk trailer came out and we're missing that and it shook up the world, we didn't do that here, but
no, I'm standing by my guns. I'm just going to say it's not going to be nominated. Taking a big departure from every. Yes,
I hear from the Next Best Pictures guys, they don't love it. They hear some bad buzz. That's okay. What they heard.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen anything.
All
about
the specs
it,
so. Are kind of yeah, like bowl
we'll,
us over.
We'll see. It certainly looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, that smells like an Oscar movie. But we'll see when it comes out. But what we do have in front of us today is some trailers from some other Oscar pictures and some other possible Oscar contenders as well. We're going to go through them all one by one like we did. We just released a couple days ago the first part of this kind of two-part episode that we're giving to you, concentrated on the stuff coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. Those were more of the popcorn movies, the superhero-based movies, a lot of the DCEU stuff. This one's going to be, like we said, more Oscar-based. And with that in mind, we're going to start off with Mike giving you some information today about Boy Erased.
Yeah, we're kind of going from the Oscar offseason to the preseason in
that's
a way, right?
And yes, we did pitchers and catchers.
Look, we've profiled a lot of these movies before, so I'm not going to bore you with all of the directed by cast
but
and crew stuff.
No.
We'll kind of we've already done that in the Oscar preview,
and we'll do it again in the Oscar sprint profiles.
So. We did that in our Oscar contender trailers episode.
Sure,
that was a lot of fun that a lot of you guys liked and clicked on there. So, Boy Erased is the first one up today. Russell Crowe, Joel Edgerton, Lucas Hedges, Nicole Kidman movie.
Yeah, we wondered, and when we did this one previously, before this trailer came out, we kind of gleaned the teaser trailer or some of the specs about it, and we wondered whether Crowe would be playing the father, or the fiery pastor, or the teacher in this movie. And we both hoped it was the pastor. And it turns out it's both the pastor and the father.
Right.
Of
the father
Lucas Hedges.
Who's a pastor.
Yes. And it's exactly pretty much what we thought a trailer with Lucas Hedges playing a conflicted gay son of Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman's would be.
This caught me up. I'll be honest with you. I thought they did a nice job with this trailer. Now, the dialogue is a bit on the nose. Or let's just say this. The dialogue is focused. They're saying things that you would think were said, at least.
Sure, there's no surprises if that's what you mean.
Compositing, like, the drama. Yeah.
Like I said, this is pretty much, this trailer is exactly what you would probably picture if we told you, hey, this is the three leads of this movie, and these are the roles they play.
Flea as, like, the drill sergeant of this Pray the Gay Away camp
scares
the crap out of me.
All right, good for you, Flea, for having that in you.
Joel Edgerton already has proven in a crew cut and glasses that he's a scary dude, that he's awkward.
He's a terrifying guy.
In the last movie he directed, and now he's back here.
He's off, man. He can play off really well. I don't mean Joel Edgerton, the man, is off, but he can play that off-settling character really well. I'm excited for this one. I think all three leads are giving you a little something to kind of salivate over in this one, in the preview alone. So Russell Crowe putting on weight, getting really into the whole facade of the dad bod person.
We've been saying this. Russell Crowe's just living a good life. Just fat and happy.
Why not? Good for you, Russ.
Yeah. Well, playing dad roles, character actor, diet. Here I am. Which is the diet we're on.
Right, exactly. We're just waiting for that call. So we'll see what happens. Joel Edgerton's getting some buzz for director about this. The three leads, obviously, Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe don't need buzz to be Oscar contenders. They can just show up and make pictures. So
we'll see. I think the bottom line for me is I was worried that this was going to be all vegetables, but they got some beautiful cinematography. They got some good music. The performances look very strong. I'm a tad worried about the dialogue, but I have faith in Joel Edgerton because a Joel Edgerton movie has been a good movie thus far.
More so than anything DCEU has given us, yes.
Right, from the Comic-Con.
I'm sorry, I can't let that go.
I have faith in the casting.
I do too. I do too. I'm hopeful. So we'll move on to On the Basis of Sex, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg biopic. Felicity Jones is kind of playing the young Ruth Bader Ginsburg, about how she kind of got her feet wet in the legal drama game and got her path to being one of the Supreme Court justices that she is today.
Right. Directed by Mimi Leder, starring Armie Hammer, Justin Theroux. A couple of first shots of this trailer look pretty awesome. I mean, it's epic, let's say. Her walking amongst like 1,000 suits up to that whatever courthouse that is.
And you know it's about law because Sam Waterston's in it.
I'm a little worried about the dialogue in this trailer as well.
Oh, look at you being all critical today. All right.
Sam Waterston has been in a couple good TV shows, but I don't know if he's choosing the highest scripts out there.
But he was the best friend in When Harry Met Sally.
No, that was another guy.
Who gives a shit? Now, he was the patient, I think. He was the dental patient. And he wasn't the best friend, but I think he was the patient. I don't know. You, I blocked that.
Your eyes don't work sometimes. You just complain.
He was
you
in had one of those stupid
what font are you in?
Movies.
What's the size of your font?
He's in one of those movies that we did that I
You're hated. Right. No, I think it was Crimes and Misdemeanors.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yeah.
That could
makes
be
more
totally
sense.
Untrue.
No, that's true. That is true. So see, that's a thing that we talked about.
Listen, if Armie Hammer is trying to get us to like him more, it's working.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? He's yeah. great in
By
this.
Being like the head cheerleader for her in this?
Of feminist and the feminist yeah. movement? Yeah, it's good for him. Good for Felicity Jones. I think it's very appropriate that this movie is coming out this year. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is like the most important woman in American politics today.
IndieWire.
How badly
yeah.
does our president want her to retire?
IndieWire was worrying, like I am, that there might be too much fatigue from RBG, which I missed and I didn't see while I was in theaters.
Yet,
I almost
we will,
went
we
like 10
it,
nights.
Yeah.
So we will see that. So maybe I'll see this before I see that. Who knows? Because I'll be waiting for RBG on video or something. So I wonder if the dialogue in this trailer is going to be indicative of what's actually in the movie, because this reminds me of Marshall, Battle of the Sexes. One of those movies that says all the right things. For me, it was The Post. It says all the right things. Great speeches given, but just on the nose, non-cinematic. I worry about it. But at the same time, we got some good shots early that are epic and early in this trailer.
Yeah, likable cast. Very talented cast.
Right.
Felicity Jones and Armie Hammer certainly are capable of big performances.
She is so. Getting the Oscar push for Best Actress here. I don't know.
She has to hate that Viola Davis exists, right? She must just hate that.
She's not showing a lot of emotion. Now, Oscar performances typically fall in two categories that we've mentioned before, right? You do
sure.
the stoic performance, the understated, you know.
I think you have to be stoic, too, if you're playing a Supreme Court justice. You can't imagine right. a very overly emotional person getting that role, getting right. that job, you know.
Or you show the range, right?
Right.
She
so.
Doesn't seem like she's showing the range here. Seems like one of those stoic ones that you got to see a
Seems
couple
like
times.
Seems like we're going to have a big year for actresses again, which I'm very pretty happy about.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Emma Stone from a movie that was, and Chadwick Boseman from Marshall, Emma Stone from Battle of the Sexes last year, playing real people in movies that were turned out to be more popcorn than they were awards worthy. Is this one of those? Is this one of those, is my question.
I hope not. I hope not.
Right. I don't know.
You seem skeptical. And
I'm skeptical because the dialogue is
right,
shit
right.
in the trailer.
So I hope not, but we will see as it comes out.
Next movie is Colette, Mike.
Yeah, Colette.
Fascinating.
What we need is another period piece.
It's not about Toni Collette, which we were pretty upset
right,
about.
Right, right. It is not. It is.
What if it was just Keira Knightley playing Toni Collette making Hereditary?
Prepping for Hereditary?
That would be like the greatest movie ever for
also
us.
Also probably more entertaining than this movie.
Just making faces in the mirror. My God. We should write it. Why isn't that script written yet?
You think Keira's free? Yeah, Keira Knightley plays a ghostwriter for her husband, I guess, in this one, or teacher. I couldn't tell what the relationship was.
So she's like ghostwriting Dominic West's
right.
work.
Dominic
novels,
West
poems,
of The Wire
I don't know
is...
What.
It's a period piece where in France she writes a novel called Colette,
right?
And it's a big hit amongst young women, and everyone credits it.
I don't know enough history to, or read enough books
to know if it's a true story or not.
Yeah, to realize that.
So Dominic West takes the credit for it. I am amazed how we have these years where the exposition or the base story for the source material of these movies all come out in bunches, like. How many gay reform stories are this year? Boy Erased, Cameron Post, versus how many father-son dramas there are? Serenity, Boy Erased again, Beautiful Boy, versus how many male taking credit for their female counterparts? Ghostwriting. We have this one, The Wife.
The Wife.
It's amazing that these all seem to come out in bunches, but this is pretty much the period piece version of what The Wife seems like it's going to be.
It's true, and it's kind of a Hollywood maxim in a way that they combine awards magnet movies together in a way for a new one. Big Eyes meets Carol at Downton Abbey seems to be this trailer. Even if it's not the movie at the end of the day. But I'm a huge fan of Keira Knightley. I loved her in David Cronenberg movies. I loved her in... going all the way back to Atonement. I thought she was incredible in that one. I'm a big fan of her as an actress.
I think so, I'm just a grump about period pieces, honestly. And there's a ton of them this year in awards contention.
Too many period pieces.
Yeah, it's a high bar. For me, with a period piece, and this is so cynical and so simplistic, but anytime I watch it, I'm just like, just make a cell phone.
Well, here's the thing. Call,
cure all your ills.
Right. This is a good trailer, though, because it's...
cinematic.
It's cueing us into the conflict of the actual story without giving us that droning on voiceover narration that's Basil Exposition-like.
You're not wrong, but also I know I can get an updated and modernized version of this plot already in The Wife, and I've seen it, and I'm already attached to it, you know? So it's kind of, for me, it's like, why would I do the period
piece? They're trying to sell the movie in a trailer. But
really?
101, right? Trailer 101.
Go on.
So they got to tell us things that it's like. So to come away from a movie trailer saying, oh, what is this movie like? What is this movie? And for us to say, okay, Big Eyes, I like that. Okay, Carol, I like that. Okay, Downton Abbey, I like that.
Nah.
I mean, you know, that's what it seems to be.
Downton Abbey never appealed to me.
Dominic West.
This is all me problems. These are all just me flushing out my mindset, so I'm sorry. I will see this. I do, like you said, I'm a big fan of Keira Knightley's work. I'm a fan of Dominic West. I loved him in The Wire. I thought he was great. I'm sure there will be a wide disposition between where that character was and where this character is. I don't know where Dominic West starts and John Cena ends. I don't care what you say.
We had a pre-pod
this
argument
about is this. A fact. Watch this trailer, close your eyes, and picture John Cena.
You're not wearing
Dominic West lines.
You're not wearing your glasses today. But you think that if the new sequel to Twins was made, it would star Dominic West and John Cena?
No, I'm thinking they are twins, actually. I'm not letting you talk me out of this.
One guy is 6'6",
stop
490
it with the
pounds.
With the real stats the and other, attributes.
You're right. They're blown up on a big screen. Right. I don't see that at all.
Take my word for it.
But I matched your insanity with my high concept trailer breakdown.
Well, you tried
Big
to do,
Eyes
like,
meets Carol
you,
at Downton Abbey.
You actually gave the people something to think about, and I'm just spewing nonsense.
Dominic West and John Cena.
Let's go to another period piece, one that I am actually quite excited about. Mary Queen of Scots, how could you not be? Two huge leads in this one. We have Margot Robbie going head-to-head. It looks like it will be head-to-head with Saoirse Ronan, two big favorites of ours. Both women nominated for Best Actress Awards for their work last year in Lady Bird and I, Tonya. And they seem to be going in the same movie this year. And this looks great for
a
period piece.
It's a Bo Willimon screenplay. So I'm into that because he's a House of Cards guy. I'm a little worried for Josie Rourke, not because she hasn't done good stuff, Much Ado About Nothing in 2011. I'm just worried because there's so much pressure on her.
That Much Ado About Nothing production was weird, too. Joss Whedon was attached.
That was another one.
Oh, there were two that came out at the same time?
She's done a lot of BBC stuff.
I'm sorry. My apologies, then. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's done a lot of BBC stuff. She's worked as a writer. Well, let's in The Vote, which is a TV movie. So this is her kind of first flagship that she's...
Yeah, taking the helm of a big production here. And it is a big production. There's a lot of momentum for these two women individually to be foisted into those two actress categories.
Here's the pressure, is this their breakthrough film? Is this the movie that will take the Oscars by storm where a female director... I mean, everybody wants that narrative to work this
year. Sure.
Bottom line,
we
correct?
Do, yeah.
We do. We're rooting for that. Is Josie Rourke getting... Is there too much pressure on her to come through? I mean, this trailer is terrific in my mind. I thought it was great.
I did too. I thought they gave you more than enough meat to chew on of what this conflict between these two women and the sides they're going to fall on is.
Snippets of the actual scenes, these go-for-it scenes, I think Margot Robbie's acting as Oscar-y as it gets. I think Saoirse Ronan typically has the understated performance.
Margot Robbie uglied herself up.
Yeah.
She's the lead actress in this. That's how these things work.
When beautiful people
ugly themselves up, they get the nomination.
The titular character is the other one, correct?
Right.
Saoirse Ronan.
Right.
So I wonder if she'll...
Look, maybe this is the rare
Guy
picture...
Guy Pearce is snivelingly arguing with Margot Robbie in this, though.
Maybe this is the picture where they do... We get back to the old times where one film had two nominations in the same category.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think it'll happen. But you're right. It would seem that Margot Robbie is the main, quote-unquote, main character in that trailer, at least, even though it's named after Saoirse's character.
Other history buffs know more of the actual story than I do. I really don't know this
true
history.
Well.
So I'm curious, and I really love the arc of the trailer. So if that story is coming through to me in the advertisement, I think, you know, you got something here.
I'm with you. I'm very excited. If you couldn't tell by my ramblings, I'm not a period piece guy. Between this and Yorgos Lanthimos, which we'll talk about in a minute, I'm very, very excited about these two movies in particular, which is a high bar to cross because they are period pieces, and that usually kind of takes away from
you movie have
from
warring it. Queens who have some kind of attachment to one another. They used to be friends, and now they're one's going to have to kill
more
the other.
Than capable actresses too, putting on these performances. I can't wait. I really
England
can't wait.
Doesn't have two queens for long. One of them is going down. Which one?
Hey, speaking of Yorgos Lanthimos, that's going to be the next up that we talk about. It is The Favourite, spelled the old British way with a U. It is Yorgos Lanthimos' film. How dare you, New York Film Festival? How dare you? This is going to open up the New York Film Festival. The audacity and the bravado that film festival has, thinking that viewing audience is in any way, shape, or form going to be capable of lasting 3 days after this movie and being able to comprehend things.
You're not wrong, because after I see a Yorgos Lanthimos film, I kind of want to see it another two or three times.
Yeah, you take
in
up
a
like
row.
Cigarette smoking just to like take yourself off the edge. Yeah.
I love this trailer, Mike.
Oh, it's great.
It's
fascinating.
It's so bizarre.
I have no idea what's going on, by
it's
the way.
It's so crazy. I just think it to have, like, History of the World Part 1, the opening of that movie, Piss Boy, to play on the, basically, Wolf of Wall Street, where rich people are just doing crazy things because they're so goddamn rich.
Yeah.
To have that just excess be shown on screen, but take it back to the whatever 17 fuckalls. I don't know.
That's the exact year, as a matter of fact.
Rachel Weisz demanding let us eat cake.
And that,
Emma
that
Stone.
Dichotomy. So we've seen Rachel Weisz even last year in My Cousin Rachel. We've seen Rachel Weisz do these big period pieces.
What accent
with
is Rachel Weisz doing? Is it American? Is it not?
Emma I don't
Stone,
know.
Is she?
But that so Rachel Weisz has way more speaking lines in this trailer than Emma Stone does, right? And I've said previously that I'm kind of worried or at least curious to see how Emma Stone can pull off an accent piece.
A British accent.
She
might be coming from colonial America, though. So
maybe. You're right. But they didn't give her a lot to speak on in this trailer.
But the lines she drops are big lines. Like she gets thrown in the mud, which is bonkers. This trailer is just bonkers.
This is
just
gross,
rich
yeah.
people acting like jerks to one another, just totally bored. And I can't want to see this more.
So
I
you have
see
Mary
so
Queen
bad.
Of Scots, which is like you expect
doing
it to
serious
be
things.
A very serious, straight-laced retelling of the British throne. And then you have Yorgos Lanthimos like taking that story and putting it through acid. And that's kind of what you're going to end up with.
Or taking another story and putting it...
Well, yeah, okay, they're not both about Mary Queen of Scots. Thank you. Didn't think I needed to say that, but...
Right. The palace intrigue. The same palace intrigue drama.
There are flowy dresses in both movies, is what I'm trying to say.
It's the genre done... Like as a horror movie,
they're both
the genre
movies
done as a comedy.
You have
and
to
a
talk
tragedy.
About in this accent. You see up here, yeah.
I can't wait to see. I don't know what to expect. Like a Yorgos Lanthimos movie.
Can you imagine?
They've all involved threats of body horror, and this trailer kind of follows through on that.
Can you imagine the Academy nominating Yorgos Lanthimos for Best Director? That means something has either gone incredibly wrong. Or incredibly right.
In sports, to try and draw an analogy from the furthest area of the spectrum from people who will like this movie. I mean, we're both. We're jock nerds.
Yeah,
we're the rare
totally.
Breed.
Yes.
Nobody is like us. We were bad at sports. We should have been acting.
Right.
And in the drama club.
We should have done drama club. But sorry, dads.
But we were forced to do sports.
Right. More or less, yeah.
Anyway, so we... have a unique perspective. So here it comes. This is the longest setup for
an
analogy.
I'm very, very interested.
Yes, to get back to this. In sports, you have the phrase, the long, slow climb. Pat Riley coined it. This is what coaches and GMs tell themselves or rationalize to themselves about why they don't win the championship every year, because you got to build a championship team over time. You got to get to the playoffs.
You have to convince Kevin Durant to sign with the 2020-2021 Boston Celtics. I get it.
But most teams, you got to draft your players, you got to develop them, you got to make the playoffs. You have a long, slow climb to the championship. This is the way it usually was done in the 80s, like Pat Riley said. Michael Jordan's got to beat the Celtics, then he's got to beat the Pistons, then he's got to get to the finals, and now you can win it. So Yorgos Lanthimos made critically acclaimed movies from Greece, nominated for Best Foreign Films. And he gets American properties, which typically get nominated for Oscars more so than foreign films do. Life is Beautiful, few exceptions along the way. He's nominated for a Best Original Screenplay for the Lobster. Maybe this is his next step, the long, slow climb. He gets a thespian nominated. He gets nominated for a screenplay, and maybe he gets Best Picture nom.
It makes sense, because if you look at the quality of thespian that he's been working with, it's, yeah, you know, you don't want to say any one actor's more than the other, but I would certainly assume that Emma Stone is held in higher esteem than Colin Farrell is as far as Oscar-type properties go and things like that. So he is climbing the ladder in a number of ways.
Maybe
so.
Colin Farrell will show up as like a servant in this movie.
He was great in The Beguiled last year, I thought. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, but he's also in all the other Yorgos Lanthimos movies. That's why I'm mentioning him, you fucking fuck.
Well, I was commenting on his talent the whole time, so that's fine.
See more Yorgos movies.
Let's talk about the next one. I am very excited. Eighth Grade just debuted recently. Bo Burnham. Everybody loves this movie. If we were picking Oscar sleepers, this would be mine. I'm not quite sure for what yet, but here's what I do know, and there are two main things. One, everybody loves how relatable this movie is about the hell that is adolescence. Eighth grade, obviously, specifically, right at the end of the middle school days, you're getting into high school. It focuses pretty much on the last week of eighth grade for the main character. Bill Simmons, Jimmy Kimmel, a lot of big outlets love this movie. It's a 98% certified fresh Rotten Tomato on 113 critic scores. Yeah. 111 of them are positive. That's insanity.
I'm just glad that Louis C.K. didn't ruin comedians becoming directors.
Well, and that bleeds into part two. My second point, Bo Burnham is a young kid, but has always been so mature for his age when he gets serious.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw Make Happy, it was a special that was on YouTube or Netflix.
Yes,
I forget which, but
I did.
He ends that in what he said might be his last stand-up special for a long time, because he wanted to go into directing films. He ends that in such a mature and relatable and emotional way. It honestly moved me. And I, you know, I'm a jackass. I don't get moved or touched by much. But I was actually like hair was standing on my arms. I was so impressed by the message he was sending. And that's kind of what Bo Burnham does for me. Yeah, he's a total clown when he wants to be.
No, it was a great special.
He's got some chops, man, as far as keeping his finger on the pulse of what's going on.
If you think about it, the least cinematic thing to do is be a comedian, just have a person walk on stage and have to entertain people by just of what you say and your facial expressions and saying it. Now you have a comedian with the entire toolkit of a director who can use every trick in the book to manipulate us into following his story and laughing at his jokes in different ways. Now, I just wonder if this movie is gaining so much momentum lately because it's kind of a niche story where a comedian made a good movie.
Could be.
I wonder if, because it's better than average, that it's just getting a lot of hype.
Could be.
I wonder if that's a similar narrative to what we've seen last year in Lady Bird being a first-time director, or Greta Gerwig, first time that she's not a co-director or co-writer. She's directing
right,
first.
Spreading her wings on her own.
As her own.
Yeah.
As her, by herself there. Jordan Peele is the obvious comparison.
But you're describing Oscar nominees, you know, like
that was the first time it really happened where a comedian became a director overnight, a directing star overnight. Woody Allen had to direct 17 TV movies.
I see.
But that's the paradigm. Woody Allen's career launched comedian to
director and serious filmmaker. Yeah,
yeah. Auteur. So it's been done before, but I just wonder if now that it's trendy, what's the reason he's getting
everybody looking for that to happen every year now? Right. Sure. Maybe. Who knows? We haven't seen it yet.
And you've said it many a times, Mike. Which is going to be those indie films that catch fire?
Going to be one or two. Something's going to happen one of the major character categories. Like I said, if I had to pick an Oscar sleeper, I know we don't necessarily do that or plan to do that. I would throw my weight just because I've been so blown away by everything Bo Burnham has ever done as far as the stand-ups go, with having so layered messages and playing with emotions and giving you all the stuff in what's a comedy special.
Right.
That it would not surprise me to see him be capable as a director of a dramatic film.
To bite in this trailer for a second, we have a young 8th grade girl who is just, it's so painful to watch her being humiliated in the dialogue it's that terrible. She's having.
Yeah. But we've all been there.
We've all been there. So is she going to be one of those characters that is so put upon, like Cinderella, like Rocky? She's such an underdog. We're cringing so early, so often. Is she going to be one of those underdog characters that we're rooting for so hard that when she gets the bleakest pat on the back, or when she gets the payoff for her character at all, we're going to be just smitten and just bowled over emotionally? Is this one of those characters? It seems like it to me, at least the way they're marketing
the
trailer.
Isn't that what 8th grade is, though? Like, don't you remember? Yeah. Like, your big accomplishments in 8th grade, do they have any meaning to you now as an adult? I don't know.
So when she finally gets that whatever payoff, we're finally over the moon for her.
Yeah. A lot of questions, and hopefully we'll get some answers when we do finally bite into this. I would love nothing more than to see Bo Burnham. My God, I've been following the kid since he was like 17, I think, being talked about seriously as a contender.
Yeah, unless we go out of state, we got to wait a little longer to see this movie. So we're going to. Maybe we'll do an Oscar Sprint profile. Maybe not. We don't know, but
see how it feels. Yeah,
it's up there for us.
Definitely. Beautiful Boy is next, Mike.
Chalamet seems like a definite nominee if this trailer is any indication.
Why are we going through with the facade that we need to actually contend for these four acting categories?
Well, we don't know which movie Steve Carell is going to be nominated for, because I don't see it in this trailer for him necessarily. He's doing the stuff. He's not showing a lot. He's just basically looking sad.
Isn't that what a dad should look like?
Yeah. I just, again, two categories.
You berated me for having that argument last year against Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird because she was too much like a mom, and I don't think she should have been nominated.
That's not my argument. My argument, she's going ham. Toni Collette facial expressions in that movie. I don't see the over-the-top performance from Carell yet. I don't see this. I mean, he's doing the stoic thing.
I think he's yelling in this trailer.
I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe a couple of hints. Yeah. I got to see the whole.
The bottom line
I need to know more.
The four acting categories are decided already.
Steve Carell will be in there somewhere, but he's screaming his bloody head off in Welcome to Marwen.
Yes.
By all indications, he's got a small but juicy role in Backseat.
We have said since February, this seems like the let's get Steve Carell an Oscar year.
Yeah.
Timothée Chalamet is amazing in this trailer, as he isn't everything anymore.
Just that diner table, diner scene. Good God.
Heartbreaking. And then you have, those are the acting side, the actress categories. We just talked about the two leads in Mary Queen of Scots, the two leads in The Favorite, Viola Davis and Widows. We don't even talk about this episode. It seems to be decided already, obviously.
Your analogy hits it. There are major contenders shaping up. Now, which is going to be the current war that gets pushed? And nobody sees the light of day. Yep. And then obviously that there's more factors why that movie got pushed. The Weinstein Company went into Chapter 11.
Sure.
There's more reasons for that. But what is going to be, you were never really here. Last year that was, Joaquin Phoenix was being touted by Gold Derby and Award Circuit.
He was a surefire.
Like, everybody, the buzz was saying, and that's what they do. They're journalists. They do a great job reading the buzz. These are the buzzed about movies right now. We have trailers for them that, this one, to me, seems as Oscar-y as it gets. Like, this movie, if it winds up being Lady Bird nominations for the main actors and then screenplay, director, picture, that would make sense to me.
I'm most willing to bet on Chalamet delivering an Oscar-worthy performance based on any of the previews I've seen than anyone else.
Adapted screenplay is loaded because everything is an adaptation this year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that
big year. We've talked about that already for adapted.
I don't know. They're dramatizing the hell out of everything that's going on here. They're not just giving you voiceover narration to do it. I mean, these scenes are,
I know you said you don't see it with Carell, but he broke my heart in this trailer alone.
Okay,
so
good.
We'll see when it comes. But I'm totally with you. This is Oscar picture 101, it seems like.
Oscar trailer 101, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That too. That's what we're doing, right?
No, I don't disagree. Both of those, I think, are true. Yeah.
Peterloo by Mike Lee, the much talked about. It's gotten a lot of play on this podcast in particular.
With me
not in the best of ways.
I've profiled this so poorly. And I've also talked shit about it because I was like trying to give something, an original screenplay
yes.
over this. Because I don't want all period pieces at my Oscars. And I loved Sorry to Bother You so much. Mike Lee is an innovator beyond compare. He takes his actors off into
his process.
Safe space, and he just makes shit up with them improvising. Like an improv class, but they're just improvising the plot. Now, this you can't do that with, but you could improvise scenes, making them up for... You know, the actual
maybe,
history of
maybe
it all.
Maybe all that walking was improvised in
this
trailer.
Turner was him eating breakfast, Droopy the dog eating breakfast, Droopy the dog painting, and Droopy the dog being grouchy with his female servants and cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated that movie with the passion of a thousand suns.
You sure
I thought
did.
I fell asleep 10 times. Maybe it was good. I think I fell asleep.
Another movie that's been talked about a lot on this podcast.
This trailer seems like 1,000 times more stimulating than that.
I think now, you and Mike Lee just need to like hash out some differences.
But dude, I loved his other work.
Right.
So that's
I know
why
you,
I'm like,
yeah, you're not
like Sally Hawkins and him have done great stuff together. Leslie Manville has done great work for Mike Lee in another year in those movies. So Mike Lee is just like one of those cult classic trendy Oscar pick guys for years. The Academy loves him. I think actors love his they love to admire his process.
Not going to disagree with anything you said. This trailer,
again, for me, my bar is so low after Mr. Turner, but you watched this trailer and hated it.
What is there to like? It's a bunch of people walking a lot with some dramatic score over it. I know that's simplistic, but
dramatic story.
Listen, I watched this trailer 5 minutes ago. I can't remember anything other than walking.
It's a 1 minute teaser.
Yeah.
There's walking. Again, it's better than eating breakfast and painting. So there's more stimulation going on.
It's
going to
be the title
me.
Of our first screenplay.
It's better than eating breakfast and painting. Correct. Rory Kinnear is from Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre. He plays the role of Bill Tanner in those James Bond movies. He is not Greg Kinnear's son, which I just totally just...
Our crack research team dug that one up.
So I have to reprofile this movie for that fact and correct my earlier mistake because I'm a dope. This seems like a focus period piece, like I said. This is an historical event in Manchester, England. There's a big fight between citizenry and army.
I would watch Colette 10 times before I watch this movie based on the trailers. Now, I could be totally wrong. Again, wouldn't be the first time. But this did nothing for me.
Listen, I'm trying to turn the page.
Get back in Mike Lee's good graces.
I'm trying to be a better man.
You are, and I'm not. And I appreciate what you're doing.
I appreciate you for taking back my flag that I raised for Sorry to Bother You over this one. So we're both happy with
right.
one another.
Very good.
Let's move on.
White Boy Rick is next. We have four or five left running them down here. White Boy Rick, Matthew McConaughey. This is my analogy after seeing this trailer. This is Beautiful Boy, but if the Steve Carell character decided to dive in with 2 feet into what Chalamet has been doing.
Now, this movie has a template. It has a clear genre. It's the too crazy to be
true
story.
Yeah.
Right? But it is a true story. These movies have been entitled American Made, American Hustle, American Gangster, and Blow. But why isn't this movie called American White Boy? Because it's connotations. But they could have like become
point.
A part of the American movies. This movie is called White Boy Rick, and Matthew McConaughey's vein in his head is going wild
just won't
here.
Quit.
So he seems like he's going for it in his
he
performance.
He does. He looks like
he
he's
is
acting
very
his balls
sweaty.
Off.
You got it. Sometimes the Academy loves a actor who is gorgeously good looking. Ugly it up, get sweaty, get veiny.
A lot of times they love that.
He won for Dallas Buyers
yeah.
Club because of his.
just kinds of weight and just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's straining for the next sentence.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey. Love,
and that's why I think Margot Robbie's got a big shot. But yes, you're right. They love the pretty person uglying it up. And he does that certainly in this trailer.
And he's this sweaty in the winter. This is winter.
Winter in Detroit. It's the true story about, the trailer sets it up that it's a true story about America's youngest informant and youngest drug kingpin. His son is the white boy Rick character who becomes this drug dealer who goes into business basically with his father after becoming a dealer for someone else.
I'm into this trailer, even though the conventions of a too crazy to be true story genre trailer, they have me just tired at this point, exhausted.
Really?
And this is one, well, they always do the same thing. Narcos trailer does the same thing too. It's a Motown or upbeat.
It's not fair. Or it's just so, it gets, they know song, how much I like music.
Right. Over crazy montage of a lot of people doing bad things.
Shit going wrong, yeah. You're not wrong.
Anti-hero, screams anti-hero. It screams, we're going to get a crazy soundtrack and a lot of montage, and it's going to be like those other movies I mentioned.
It spoke to me. I guess I'm a sucker for those types of trailers, because you're right. It was beat for beat pretty much the same thing, but I was still eating it up, so we'll see what happens with it.
If it's more American Hustle than American Made, I'm in. I liked a lot of American Gangster back in the day, but again, these movies have kind of made me grow tired of the genre.
We're going for Custard.
That's Serenity. A great line. Yes. I would like it to be weird. If it's like, what's that show on Showtime with, darn it, about the poor family?
Shameless.
Shameless, thank you. I watched a couple seasons of Shameless. If it's more like Shameless and it's poverty porn, I might be more. But that just means I'm a bad person.
Yeah, so there we go. Also, Mike likes to laugh at the less fortunate. Serenity!
You know, if you saw my bank account, you'd laugh at me, less fortunate. Keep going.
Serenity, I don't know what this is. McConaughey again. The first impression I got was that it's okay. It's an updated Wild Things. The old Neve Campbell, Denise Richards, swimming in a pool type thing that ends on
absolutely
a boat. Yeah.
But is it going to be one of those unreliable narrator stories?
Yeah, sure.
Everybody.
Wild Things was.
Every character in this is like speaking to him with a wink, with a knowing more than he knows. That's obvious in the trailer. You have Jason Clarke finally embracing his villainous perception that we get him in every movie.
Yes, I think that was on our advice, actually.
Happy with that.
Yeah.
I have Matthew McConaughey potentially being an unreliable narrator, which he's done well before. Other movies. I won't mention them because that'll be spoil them. You have Demon Hansu.
He's been in a lot of stuff too lately.
He's been in like the 10 of the last 12 movies we've talked about. You have Diane Lane and Anne Hathaway, who's the femme fatale, who's not. This feels like a noir film, but it also could be just, it could be anything from Enemy with Denis Villeneuve and be total batshit. It could fall in line with another trailer we've reviewed here before, Bad Times at the El Royale, where we're getting Oscar buzz for Crazy Horse. What's his name? The dude.
Jeff Bridges. Jeff Crazy Bridges, Horse.
Thank you. Crazy Horse. He won the Oscar.
I know. I didn't expect you to end that sentence with horse.
Because Jeff Bridges is the dude. You have Kendall Roy, Jeremy Strong from Succession, which I'm on a binge on right now. What a great show. I love it. So I'm in for this movie.
This, I guess maybe because it was so vividly Wild Things / I Know What You Did Last Summer with the setting and the scenes and the way the picture looked, that to me it spoke more like a popcorn movie. But if this wants to take a step serious, you've got a blonde Anne Hathaway playing a devious wife, it seems, and Jason Clarke fully embracing that villain role like you talked about.
Steven Knight, the writer of Eastern Promises, the writer of Locke, the writer of Peaky Blinders, and Dirty Pretty Things.
Wow.
So finally give this a bit of a profile. Those are a lot of things I like.
Yeah, same here.
I'm interested.
All right.
I'm interested.
Talk me into it. I hope it's Oscar contender. Girl in the Spider's Web. I don't know. It doesn't look like an Oscar contender to me, but
Rooney Mara was nominated for the girl with the dragon tattoo in the David Fincher movie way back. Noemi Rapace. Launched her career with the success of the Millennium Trilogy, brought to miniseries form on Swedish television that became a big hit coming over here.
And one of our favorites, Claire Foy, takes the title role here. And
I was obsessed with Claire Foy, but that's beside the point. I was obsessed with the Millennium Trilogy in the late 2000s there, and going into the early 2010s. 2010s, because these mysteries are just grab you by the throat, grab you by the balls. They're intense.
Yeah, I haven't. It's my own fault, and I'm going to see it. I just haven't seen the Rooney Mara version yet. I'm a big Claire Foy fan. I thought her in Unsane, I don't know why that's not getting more buzz. Maybe it has to do with the release date, too, but she was phenomenal.
Yeah,
in that
I loved
movie.
Her in that. I think this is my least favorite book of the series, so it's not.
I've read these.
Stieg Larsson's died.
Right.
So he can't write more.
Didn't he die under suspicious circumstances, too?
It was a heart attack or something.
Oh, was it? All right. I remember there was a profile on Rolling Stone.
He ate, drank, and smoked like us, so during his 30s and 40s or 50s. How do you get a voice like ours without... Yeah.
Gun to your head, do you think this is an Oscar contender?
No, but I can't ignore it, so we added it today.
Sure.
Because the trailer
is
making some
waves. And Claire Foy is chomping at the bit. I feel like we talk about her all the time.
First Man.
That she's on the verge of breaking out. She's going to one of these days. She's going to be a top-line Hollywood star.
She's got the Emmys noms.
Yeah.
When will the Oscar ones come? Yeah. She's going for it this year.
Our final one. Everybody wanted
this.
Everybody wanted this to be nominated for an Oscar when the first one came out. And now the preview for the second one's out. Creed 2. The first one, it was a good movie.
Right.
It's just that it was rocky.
Yeah, it was ranked like 10 or 11th for me that year. I might have snuck into my top 10 because I was so pleasantly surprised, because I was so bored with all the reboots, that this was one I actually liked.
Right.
I love Tessa Thompson in it.
Yeah.
I love Michael B. Jordan.
Well, Michael B. Jordan,
I just thought that B story with Sylvester Stallone in First Creed, God, it moved me emotionally. And his one scene where he goes for it, I couldn't get over what he did. Obviously,
yeah,
Ryan
Coogler. There's two types of people. It was that effect, and then there was me who was like, that is so manipulative and such a, to me, it was an obvious grasp at seriousness, which worked. It got Sylvester Stallone not only the nomination,
yeah, I just
but the favorite.
The scene. I like the scene, the way it worked. Now, full disclosure, the Rocky movies meant a lot to me as a kid.
You don't say.
Growing up, because I look like his stunt double as a grown-up. And I think being an Italian guy who's short Italian guy who
I think
used
you're
to
the,
work out.
I think you're in the majority. I think those movies mean a lot to a lot of Americans.
My brother right now, he's a college-age kid. He just told me him and his friends are rewatching the Rocky series, and they're
right.
having a ball over how awesomely bad it all is.
Right. I mean, Bill Simmons talks about this type of stuff all the time, how when Rocky IV is on, they'll talk about how the Cold War ended. Right. You're in good company.
I wonder if too much of Rocky IV has shaped our foreign policy these days.
I wish it did.
I don't know. There's a lot of after effects. We don't know how important the Rocky movies are to our society. Let's get into this trailer.
So speaking of Rocky IV, apparently it's Creed II.
Well, that is the essence of Apollo Creed's conflict, or the end game of Apollo Creed's conflict, to fight Ivan Drago, correct?
Yes.
It makes sense that they would bring Drago's son, I don't know what his name is, he's...
Navi. It's Ivan backwards. I don't know.
I forgot that Ivan Drago's son is in this movie. I remember hearing the casting news. When I watched this trailer, I forgot that he was in this.
So you were blown away by the reveal?
When he turns around and it's Drago on
right.
the back of the jersey,
right.
on the back of the... I was just goosebumps. Bill Simmons says he emptied his bowels at that point.
I don't get it. All right, sure.
I love the shots in this trailer in the fight game to show all the laser lights. I thought those were a great shot.
Creed 1 was beautifully shot, very authentic feel for a boxing match. Love the soundtrack for this, the Kendrick Lamar theme playing over and the start-stop with it that it has for the dramatic effect. Love that use of it. I hope he's involved with this movie as well. It's not Ryan Coogler again. It's being directed by Stephen Caple Jr.
And Sylvester Stallone wrote it? It's more Sylvester
yes,
Stallone?
Yes, I believe that's correct. He wrote one of the original Rockies as well. The screenplay credits go to Chio, Hodari, Coker, and Sly Stallone. Ryan Coogler obviously gets credit for the characters as well as Sly.
I don't know. You got to
just fight
you gotta
Drago,
trailer with
man.
A payoff.
Just fight Drago. What the fuck do you have to be mad at his kid for?
What are you talking about?
I get it.
Have you seen Rocky IV?
Yes, I know. That's why. Fight Drago. Rocky IV.
No, you can't. He's fucking 60 years old.
Listen, I gave you 5 minutes. Let me talk.
He's 60 years old. He's not going to fight Michael B. Jordan, who's 30.
Drago in Rocky IV was like 22 and like a super specimen. total half cyborg type thing. He's not going to be that old now. What's he going to be, 50? George Foreman was 54 when he won the title.
He should be barely alive in this movie after all the steroids he took. This is, I hate to say it, Mike. All your heroes, if you're shitting on
my heroes.
All your heroes in professional wrestling who took all those steroids all those years.
There's a wellness test in place, I'll have you know. They've all passed. It's all up to board.
They're going to have trouble in their golden age. They're not going to be able to fight Michael B. Jordan's.
I don't know if I was like, if I was a couple years too late for the Rocky Fat. It's just, I've loved them. They're great movies. I've never left one feeling prouder to be an American, I guess.
You're not Italian American.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know.
I had all these freaking gangster movies that I could like.
I don't make Polish movies.
I have a fighter movie. I have Sylvester Stallone and
maybe. And you said you didn't like Boondock Saints, right? And I'm part Irish. I love Boondock Saints, so maybe it does have something
I'm
to do with
part Irish too.
Well, then you're a bad Irishman. I don't know. I'm looking forward to Creed 2. I liked Creed 1. I'm sure that I love Michael B. Jordan.
I almost argued for Rocky movie dialogue over. Well, the Rocky won Best Picture.
You got to
stop,
man.
You
got to stop.
Rocky won Best Picture.
It did not deserve to win Best Picture that year.
It was pretty good. It was one of the first underdog stories of that ilk. It bowled people over as an underdog story.
Didn't
it was
beat your All the President's Men?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if it, but I'm saying people thought it was that important.
So, as a means of review, the 1977, the 49th Academy Awards, Rocky won Best Picture over All the President's Men.
This is like two great hype men hyping up the next retrospective. We're going to do 76.
Bound for Glory, Network, which I admittedly have only seen like half of, and Taxi Driver,
All the President's Men is an all-timer for me.
Yes.
Taxi Driver has... This is going one to of the greatest finales.
Go ahead.
It's one of the greatest finales ever. It is a gross movie. It is gross for 2 hours.
It is so important cinematically.
No, it's I liked Taxi Driver a lot. It's a great. It's a very, very good movie.
You think
it is not better than Rocky? It is not better than All the President's
you
Men.
You think the original Rocky is better than Taxi Driver?
Yes, unequivocally.
Oh my God!
Screenplay that works. Taxi Driver drones on during the middle.
Yeah, because it's to set up the finale. It's beautiful.
It's gross because he's taking his dates to porn.
Yes,
movies.
Because he's a mentally disturbed person. That's how you substantiate that someone like that is. All right,
we'll have he to is mentally 76. Disturbed. We'll it's a gross 76. Movie about a mentally disturbed person.
We'll have to do 76.
I am also mentally disturbed, so maybe it touches nerves.
I'm not seeing.
We'll
Creed.
Have to do
I'm not
76.
Seeing Creed 2 now. Look what
you
have done.
Have to see
We're
Creed
done.
2.
We're done.
Creed We're 2 partners is off. On this fun. I don't even want to review Creed 2 with you. I don't even want to do it because you're just going to poop on
I
it.
I am excited for Creed 2. I did
you're
like
not.
Creed.
Bullshit.
I am. No, I am.
Bullshit.
I'm not excited for another year of this should be the greatest picture ever.
I don't think that. I don't think it was.
I know you don't. I know
it was
you
a top 12 movie for me that year. It was good.
Right. That's fine. We are in the minority, I think, with that statement, though, is my point.
I liked Rocky 1 a lot as a... Best picture.
You've made that clear. And we'll have to do 76.
Well, I'm trying to give my favorite franchise some credence. That's what I'm trying to
some
do.
Some credence? Yeah.
You brought me back into you brought me back into your heart with that punny dad joke.
Terrible pun. That's going to be it. Those are all the Oscar trailers from both Comic-Con, some of the Comic-Cons that have gone on, and, of course, the internet at large. So we're going to get ready to dive headfirst into the Oscar season. A lot of these movies are just being released soon, if not this week, then in the next. Black Klansman is going to be going wide soon, 8th grade, et cetera, so we're hoping to get our teeth into those.
The wife
any of those.
Searching. Right. We're going to see what we'll cover. We don't. We can't. I don't know if we
yeah, we're
can
not making
cover
promises
them all.
Yet.
The Miseducation of Cameron Post. Did you say that?
I did not, but yeah
that's
another
one.
So we're not going to make any promises yet. We're going to try to see them and kind of decide for both ourselves and with the buzz, surrounding buzz, what we think are worthy of Oscar sprint profiles. And when those are out, we're going to tell you whether or not they are worthy of them and whether or not you should see them. But if there's anything else on the radar you think we should be aware of, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike and Oscar.com, at gmail.com, reddit.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, etc. Type in Mike and Oscar. You will see us.
Help us help you plan that next movie night. That's a little motto I'm starting up. I'm starting to tweet a lot these days. And help us help you because we've done a lot in the preview game. We've done every month.
Oh, yeah.
We previewed every month's worth of theatrical releases. We've done several of these trailer episodes now, so we're out there talking about movies we haven't seen. Obviously, we're reviewing everything we do see in audio form here. So
yeah, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary. We got a couple more months, one-year anniversary. But pretty much when that one-year anniversary hits is when we're full bore into Oscar stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
So going to be exciting times coming up, and we hope that you're here for that. And more, Michael, any final words of wisdom?
Rocky is a good movie.
You're an idiot. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us, and we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.